Welcome back to the Dream World Podcast. Our guest today on this episode is Joshua Andre. He's an international motivational speaker who teaches people business entrepreneurship skills and effective manifestation practices. We talk about how to navigate this game of life and how to make your dreams come true by structuring your life and energy to match the goals you want to achieve. Let's get into it.
Yeah, so obviously my name is Joshua Andre. I started this journey, actually, if I take it back to the beginning on how I was able to make this difference in my life to help others as well. It really started from, I believe, the age of like around 11 or so. Like I got into this whole thing, this more conscious space from listening and hearing about conspiracy theories. So back then I used to be really big into conspiracy, like 11-year-old. Now the question might be, how come an 11-year-old is into conspiracy theories, looking into all these different things? And actually it was my mom who showed me this. And when I think back to this, I'm a bit like, hold on, my mom at 11 years old showed me about conspiracy. I was like, what? But at the same time, it's kind of those things where, you know, it's just like, it's divinely guided, right? Everything happens for a reason. That's a firm belief for me. And I guess anyone listening, that's something that definitely can help you in your life, is knowing that. And so, yeah, I went on this journey. So for a few years, I would listen to different conspiracy theories, look into different things. I would open my mind. But the only problem came where now I was hearing all these topics, all these things, and it was actually making me feel a bit, I don't want to use the word depressed, but a bit anxious, a bit worried, a bit like, oh my gosh, like all these things out here are happening and nobody knows about it. So I think around the age of 14, it got me to really think, how can I do something to make a change? Like, because all the time you're thinking, how can I change the outside? How can I change the outside? But then it came to the realization, I'm sure you've had this realization as well, Amina, is that if we want to change the outside, we got to start with self. So it came to that realization. I was like, okay, you know what? I want to make a difference in this world. I want to help people. How can I help myself first to then be able to give back to others? So this is how this whole, I guess, spiritual journey, lucidity journey, personal development journey started. And then really just ever since then, it's just been learning new things, just having that interest in like new topics, learning. Even if it's a topic where I'm like, does that really exist? Can it really work? I think the key thing, what has got me through a lot of new understandings, is one phrase, and it's always about keeping your mind open. Like the moment we close our mind to, like, whether you say things like, I've heard that before, then we shut off that information. I'm sure we've had that before, where it's like, you know what, someone's saying something, but I've heard it before. But if we take our consciousness to a deeper level, if we appreciate that, whether we talk about law of attraction, manifestation, then you've manifested this knowledge again, whether it's to remind you or whether it's to hear it from a different perspective or to understand it on a much deeper level. So I think that's the main thing, is just keeping an open mind, even if it's something like, that's crazy, that can't happen. How does that even work? I never heard anything like that. But just keeping an open mind and, yeah, just learning as much.
Yeah, that's great. I agree, because the truth is, we have no idea what we don't know. Like, the universe is just so big and it's just so deep that we're always learning new things and adapting to new things, and things change all the time.
Yeah, my main focus is, because we train like thousands of people like every month, the bulk fit into generally two types of categories. Now, what we see, there's the first type of category of people who are, let's say, in this world, hustle, 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 make money, chase success, but then only to get to that success point. And I'm sure whoever these people who are listening to this have had this moment where you kind of like, you have a goal, you work so hard towards it, you achieve that goal, then you get to it and you're a bit like, is this all there is? Like, you know, you have that moment where it's like, this doesn't feel like I imagine. Like, I want something else. Then what we find is that a lot of people get stuck in that cycle of hustle, 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 work, 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 set goals, achieve goals. But then they're missing that, whether we call it that fulfillment or that deeper level of, whether we say, spiritual fulfillment. Then we go on to the other side. And now what we see, and these are my favorite type of people, because I am one of these type of people, where it's like, we've got the more spiritual people now, where they're like, okay, you know what? I'm one with the universe. I'm just going to sit here, meditate, manifest love, manifest peace for the world, for myself, manifest abundance. But then when they look out in their physical world, their abundance may not be as abundant as they would like. maybe they're lacking some sort of love. Maybe they're basically their physical doesn't quite match up with what they see in their meditations. So my thing now is all about, like I said at the beginning, how can I help people? It's all about bridging that gap between the spiritual and the physical. Even if, let's say, you're manifesting your dream partner, because we get a lot of questions like, how do we manifest our ex back, or how do we manifest our soulmate? If you're manifesting them, yes, you've got to do the spiritual practices to align your energy, to get into that alignment. But then if you manifest your spiritual partner, and then you're at a bar and you see that person, you're like, oh my gosh, this is the person. If you don't have the physical skills of communication, of confidence, of just knowing what to say, right? If you don't have those physical skills, then it doesn't matter how many of your soulmates the universe puts in front of you because you manifested them, you will never be able to fully receive that manifestation. So the main thing to answer your question, Amina, is what my focus is now is how do we build the spiritual powers? Because what we find, this is what gets you the opportunities, right? Using your spiritual powers, aligning yourself is what gravitates and manifests these opportunity portals, these things into your life. But then it's not just being in that aspect. How do we bridge it? Because we say we're spiritual beings living a human experience. So how do we bridge the physical now to equip ourselves with the skills, the strategies, the know-how to then receive your manifestations? And I know some people, they want to manifest business or finances. It's the same thing like that, like learning certain skills. So that's my main focus, is pushing those two forms of knowledge out there and just building this positivity, this love with as many people as possible.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so important, I think, because I see it a lot too. Like a lot of people, they want to manifest something and they're thinking about physical stuff or a very specific goal. They're thinking about, you know, having everything they want, and they don't think about the work that it takes to get there. You know, like you said, it's a lot of steps to manifesting something, a lot of factors that have to come into play. And yeah, I think that's so important, because abundance isn't just about money. You know, it's about, like you said, love and a lot of factors. So I think, yeah, it's important. Everybody wants to manifest abundance in every way, you know, but I guess it's not as easy as it looks. But I do think, like you said, we came here as humans to have this experience, to learn our power as creators, right? And how to manifest. So I guess it's about how can we figure that out better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny as well, because like we all sometimes, a lot of times when there's those things going on in our lives where it's like a bit like, oh my gosh, this is happening. Why is this happening? One thing that I always found like very profound and helped me get through, especially the tough times, because everybody's going through their challenges, right? I'm sure everyone listening to this is going through things right now that they're trying to grow through and that they're learning to heal and to develop further. And it's just understanding that, just like, you know, when we go to the movies or watch a film, you know, the films where it's like happy, 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 happy ending. And it's a bit like, okay, that's an okay film. Probably will never watch it again, but you know, it was an experience. But then you go to the films where it's like, you know, it's a happy start. Then it's like something happens and it's a challenge. And you're like, oh my gosh, you're really into it. You really want to make this character, like, figure out a way. You want to see how they do it. Then they go through those trials or tribulations. Then you find out that they either had an achievement or they had some sort of transformation journey. And this goes hand in hand with things like marketing and stuff, but to keep it to do with just life, it's those films, right? It's those films that have the biggest effect on us. It's like, oh my gosh, that was such a good film. It gives you that heart feeling. And it's crucial to understand that if you think of, you know, right now we're going into like virtual reality, VR, and I'm sure we'll talk about lucidity as well soon. This is like the biggest virtual reality.
Yeah, right? I see that all the time. It's just a big video game.
Yeah, exactly.
Our guides are watching us like a movie, like everybody on the spiritual world. They're like, oh my God, so much suspense. Yeah.
You know, I was talking to a friend about that the other day, and we were saying, like, imagine like we're like celebrities because we're in this virtual reality. And then you've got people in the spiritual world, like our guides, our guardians, and they're like, oh my gosh, there's Amina. She's doing this podcast now. It's so amazing to see what she's doing. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm Amina's guardian. I protect her every day. And it's just like, you know, these things are pretty cool to think about. And it's been shown, like, I used to be very interested in near-death experiences, which sounds a bit bleak, but I...
Oh, me too. I'm doing an episode on that next week.
Oh, really?
With somebody, yeah.
Yeah, let's send me the link. I'll definitely tune in, because I used to be very fascinated with, like, you know, I'm sure a lot of people listening to this podcast as well, like, what happens after death? And then to hear so many, like, near-death experiences where they talk about very similar things. And you know what, Amina? I used to find it very crazy. because I came from like a very religious background, like Christian background. And I remember thinking like, okay, so we've got this religion, there's this other religion, like which one is the real one? And like, I used to try and look up these other religions. Yeah, you know, the real one. I used to look at these other ones and see like, what's the similarities? Like there must be some similarities and maybe that's the real thing. But then the real profound thing that I saw from these near-death experiences was when you would take someone who was Christian and at that point where they would see the white light or experience that thing, they would see Christ. Then you would take someone who is Muslim and then they would see Allah. Then you take someone who's like Hindu and then they see, I don't know, Shiva or something like that. And then he was like, okay, so like, surely there's just one thing. And then it came to that point where it's like, okay, maybe there's some sort of energy and it's just how we interpret that energy.
Yes, I agree with you. I've always thought about that. And the way I see it is kind of like you said, our experiences and how we grew up and what we believe plays a role in the experience we have. And I think there's definitely like higher beings and more enlightened beings. Like Jesus was a real person, you know, like the Quran talks about the same stories that the Bible talks about. And a lot of religions talk about the same historical encounters of the same types of the same roles for these higher mm-hmm. beings, just from their own perspective, you know? And so everybody has a little bit of the truth from however they interpret it, you know? So I always thought that was super fascinating.
Yeah, it's very, very cool stuff. Like when you look into this stuff, there's so much stuff out there, right? It's like when you start to open this rabbit hole, there's like so many different, you find that it's not even just one rabbit hole. That rabbit hole's deep, but then you got this other rabbit hole, this thing is just, I think as well, one thing on, I guess this may help because I know some people, a lot of times we get asked like, Josh, there's like so much out there. Where do I begin? If anyone's thinking that listens to this, like the ultimate thing to appreciate, like we covered at the beginning, is just understanding that ultimately everything starts from self. Like everything is within you. I know. And one gauge I've always had is anyone who tries to lead you away from yourself, that's when you start to like have some question marks. Like if someone's leading me away from myself, okay, what is their purpose from this? If someone's leading you back to yourself, then it's like, okay, I think I appreciate where this person's coming from because everything's within. Even science says, you know, the Big Bang, everything came from one point. So that means that we are all one. Everything emanates. Like I'm the center of the universe. You're the center of the universe. That couch is the center of the universe. Like everything is one point. It's just this new perspective that we're going through now.
Yeah, it's just expanded into our 3D reality for us to see things as separate, but we're all really the same. We're just viewing everything from our own individual perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I get that with lucidity, like for lucid dreaming a lot, because, you know, I kind of coach people and people are like, oh my God, there's hundreds of techniques online. Like, I'm sure you know, like all these different methods and like, which one's the right one? Which one's the wrong one? Or, you know, how do I use crystals? How do I do this? And like, I always tell people like, there's no right or wrong. Like all these tools exist because everybody's brain works differently. Like it's about trial and error. You really have to find what works for you, and like your own experience is the best guidance, because we help each other. We're all like guiding each other back to the source or whatever, and you know, we share our experiences with each other to like help each other, but that can help you figure out what works for you. But there's no right or wrong. Like what works for me might not work for you, and vice versa. So you know, you just have to trial and error, see what works for you and what resonates with you, and that's kind of like the guidance that you said.
I'm interested, Amina, what's your go-to lucidity technique?
Yeah, so you know, I kind of switch all the time. I've been a natural lucid dreamer since I was a kid. So sometimes, you know, I'll just have them randomly, but when I'm making efforts to do techniques, definitely I'll have more. I always wake back to bed because sometimes when I take naps or go back to sleep, that's like my prime. I have a lot of lucid dreams. And I'll also do like setting intentions before I go to sleep, and like saying affirmations or certain phrases, whether it's about being lucid or just having, you know, good sleep or whatever, that helps me a lot. So that's usually what I do. It's pretty simple. And I'll also do like this focus on my senses, which, you know, people call senses induced or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I use those. And with the senses, there's like a 61 point technique. I don't know if you've heard of it, but you basically just focus on every single little point of your body, starting with your head, through your arms, down your legs and back. As you fall asleep, you just really feel your senses as like much as possible. It's just a way to like focus on your senses, and your body falls asleep and your mind kind of stays awake. So
is this then, is it specific points, or is it a case whereby you just focus on whatever point of the body you want to?
the technique has specific points, but it's really, you don't have to use them.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of, the points go down your arm and then down your other arm, just to go through your whole body, basically.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I used to, with lucid dreaming, actually, I've had like a slight block with lucid dreaming, like for years. Like I would have some, but like recently, because we tend to do a lot of different manifestation practices in different dimension. And that's what I mainly focus on now. But when we talk about lucid dreaming specifically, I had this like really crazy experience when I was younger. Because, you know, as a kid, you have a lot of lucid dreams. Like you don't know what it is, but you just have it. It's like, oh, this is cool. I'm going to go here, chill out, party. Let's play with some aliens or something. I don't know, whatever people dream of. And then I remember I used to have this recurring nightmare. So it used to be like this big green monster. So I'm just going to ask this because I want to hear your perspective on it, Amina, with regards to what you think. So I used to have this like big green monster that used to chase me. And I'm sure anyone listening had some recurring nightmares as a kid. Like, you know what it's like. Then I remember as a kid, I didn't know what it was, but I was like, I kept waking up scared, like traumatized, kept waking up. Then what I would find would be on one night, something hit. I was like, you know what, Josh? Like, this is a kid. I'm just like, you know what? Next time I see that monster, I'm going to know it's a dream because I keep waking up and it's just a dream. And this is a lucid dreaming technique, right? It's like dream signs and stuff like that. But as a kid, you don't know it. So I was like, you know what? Next time I see that monster, I'm going to know it's a dream and it's going to be fine. So I went to bed the next night, started to fall asleep. I was like, you know, if I see that monster, it's a dream. I go into the dream, I fall asleep, start dreaming, whatever. Then I see that monster. And then I'm like, oh shit. So I started running again. Then I was like, hold on, this is that monster. I think, hold on, this is a dream. I was like, okay, this is cool, this is a dream. But then because I didn't know the power that we have within a lucid dream and what you could do to transform that monster or teleport, do whatever you wanted to do, I basically got into this cycle of like, shiz, this is a dream, but this month is still pretty scary. Like I was like 3 or 4 years old. So I remember running. And then I get to like this point where I'm like, you know, I need to hide somewhere. So I hid behind, I think it was like a sofa or a desk or something. And this big green scary monster is still running after me, chasing me. And then they're like, wake up. But I couldn't wake up. So then I was like, come on, please just wake up. And then imagine I'm in a dream. So now it's even more traumatizing because now I've brought my consciousness here. And now it's like, oh my gosh. So then ever since then, I've noticed that lucid dreaming, I used to have this block with lucid dreaming because of that point. So especially when I used to get back into lucid dreaming, I used to have this thing where I would actually wake up very quickly because my body's reaction is like, this is a dream, shit, I need to get out of here. So over the years, it's got better. But I'm just wondering if you've heard anything like that, Amina, yourself, or anything that you recommend or anything like that?
Yeah, a couple of things. So I relate to you because my first lucid dreams were also nightmares as a kid. And I used to just say, wake myself up and get out of here. Like that was my reaction because I didn't know all the possibilities of lucid dreaming. So I would just try to wake up. And even when I started lucid dreaming, like intentionally, sometimes I couldn't keep stability and I would wake up. So, you know, it's interesting because some people now they don't want to wake up. They want to stay lucid longer. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. But what I have noticed is that with nightmares, like when we embrace them with love and like our consciousness instead of fear, we'll have a better experience. Like you said, you can transform that, you know, because those types of dreams and those energies, they'll feed off your fear and then it'll affect the experience we have. Yeah. We'll just feel more scared, you know, like that monster may not even have been bad, but you're scared of it as a kid. So you're seeing it, you're interpreting it as something that wants to hurt you. Mm-hmm. Right. But if you had like stood up to the monster and said, oh, I don't care about you, then the monster loses its power, you know? But yeah, so like if you're having trouble waking up from a lucid dream, I would say that that's kind of a blessing because you're in there longer. It's stable. It gives you an opportunity. The universe is telling you to face it and to be lucid and to, you know, discover whatever it is that's in front of you, you know?
Yeah.
If you're having trouble staying there, you just have to figure out how to stabilize it.
That was the thing. So it's like dream stabilization, right? So I used to do a lot of research into that because it used to come to the point where I would wake up so much just after the dream, after I become lucid. So then I remember I used to do like, spin around, look at your hands, focus, touch the senses. So
the senses really is the best way. So like I'll go around like licking the walls or whatever. Like, so use all 5 of your senses, like touch, taste, smell. So I'll touch everything as detailed as possible and I'll like really feel it, like, you know, admire it and like look into it. That helps me. Some people say spinning around helps. Really, it's like the same thing, trial and error, see what works. But I will say this, the most important thing that I've noticed is like keeping your emotions calm. Like when I first started to get lucid again, intentionally, I would get so excited that I would wake up, and like that excitement and like getting your emotions riled up, it wakes you up. So you have to practice staying calm. And like one way to do that is to have a plan. Like if you know, okay, when I get lucid, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to stabilize. I'm going to do whatever it is your goals are. Having that plan, it prevents you from like freaking out and getting too excited, you know, or scared or whatever, because that can wake you up, you know? And then sometimes if you like meditate while you're, you know, lucid, that can help you. Like really you want to stabilize, get into your dream body. So that's why like feeling all your senses kind of helps you kind of connect with it more, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a cool space, right? Lucid dreaming, the lucid world, giving you that those extra few hours to really enjoy. And it's cool now because obviously with the work that I do with Master Sri Akashna and I Am Creator team, one big thing that we teach and share about is all about, like I mentioned earlier, the whole manifestation side inside of whether we call, because there's that whole debate, right, between astral projection, between lucid dreaming. Are they the same? Are they different? Stuff like that. But I think the main focus that I've been focusing on particularly recently is just getting into a different state of consciousness, taking your energy to a different place where manifestations are stronger. You're not limited by this.
Yeah. However you label it, it's powerful, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, right? Because as humans, we want to put so many labels on everything. But at the end of the day, it's like taking a car, right? You can label it like, okay, this is the engine. This is the rear view mirror. This is this. But at the end of the day, you want that car because you want to go from A to B. So, you know, you can look at the details, you can appreciate it more, but if your goal is to get from A to B, whether it's to attract those finances, attract that love of your life, travel the world, wherever your goals are, then just, you know, don't overcomplicate it. Just use it. Then when it's working for you, maybe you want to look back like, okay, well, how does this engine work kind of thing? But I think a lot of people get stuck in that kind of like conflict energy, right? Of like, no, my way of thinking is right. This is right. But ultimately, if we want to move forward, if we want to go forward, you just keep going. Like it's human nature.
Yeah. So what would you say, like in terms of that conflict energy, like when people are manifesting, what would you say about like, let's say I want to manifest like a dream job and I'm so focused on the job and I'm stressed about it and I don't have anything in my life, like regarding me getting that goal, whatever it is, like how does your energy like affect what you manifest? Like, how do you focus on like the positivity of it? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you avoid all the counteractive stuff that's the opposite of what you're trying to manifest?
No, definitely there's a book that I was reading. It's called Reality Transurfing, and it really explains this really well. So I'll explain it as a summary, because I'm sure we've all had that experience, like, you know, when maybe you've got some sort of job interview, for instance, then you tell everyone, oh my gosh, I've got this job interview coming up. Then next thing you know, the job interview either gets cancelled or it doesn't work out well. Or maybe you start seeing someone and then you start telling all your friends, like, oh my gosh, and all of a sudden something happens. So a lot of the times the challenges, the things that people would say go wrong in life, is purely because a lot of people don't appreciate the way that this universe works. So actually, if we, just like if we take it back to that whole science thing of the Big Bang, if we want to say, keep it logical for now, but just take it back that everything is energy, energy is everything. We are all the same. Yes, we can look at that sofa or that light over there and think, okay, that's not living. But everything is made up of the same substance of this universe. So equally, for those who are a bit more on a more conscious journey, appreciating that everything is the same. Everything as, people may not like this, but everything is as insignificant as each other. Like everything's insignificant, sure. But everything as well is equally as significant.
I say that too. Like we're real and fake at the same time.
Yeah. It's a paradox, but that's the way that this universe works, right? Like it's so crazy, but if we appreciate that everything holds the same energy, nothing, the only importance that things has is the importance that we put on it, the importance that we set on it. So the really cool thing in this book, and I definitely recommend everyone who's listening to this, definitely take a look at that book. It's called Reality Transurfing. And it talks about a thing called balanced forces. And just like in the universe where there's cycles, where like sine waves, if you look at mathematics, there's the autumn, summer, winter, spring cycles, waves, everything has waves because ultimately it wants to come into balance, right? Everything's looking for balance. There's no right or wrong. It's balance that it's looking for. And what it talks about here, and this thing really made me understand it on a deeper level, was appreciating that when we put a level of importance onto something that is so, like, you're telling me that this glass is just a glass, but you're saying, oh my gosh, it's the best glass out there. This is the best water. Da, 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 da. You're subconsciously putting this new energy of higher importance to this thing. Now, what that means is that these balanced forces, these forces of the universe, have to come in to balance it. Because if you're putting all this intention, this thing there, it's a bit like, but actually it's just this insignificant thing. So that's the reason why a lot of things tend to happen, where people say ups and downs or goes wrong in life, because of these balanced forces and not understanding them. But now I know that there'll be people listening to this and being like, okay, I kind of understand that, but if I want to manifest that dream job, don't I need to focus on it? Don't I need to put that intention on it? Yes, you do. But at the same time, there's a book that Master Sri Akarshan wrote. It's a free book. It's called Set It and Forget It. And it's the same thing there. People are like, okay, I set my intentions. How am I meant to forget about it? Like, I really want this thing. How am I going to forget about it? But actually, it's not really the case you're forgetting about it. It's that you're carrying on your day almost as if it's done already. Like, you don't have that thing of like needing, because they say you don't manifest what you want. You manifest what you are. So if you're in that energy of needing, wanting.
If you lack it, if you need it, you don't have it, right?
Exactly. Because you can't be in that frequency if you have it. If you had it, then you would never be thinking, I really want this. I really want this. I hope this happens. You'd be like, okay, it's here. Thank you. So for the question of like focusing, I think what will help a lot of people listen to this will just be understanding that, yes, set those intentions. But once you've set them, know that it is done. And it's a really cool thing. Just like, I don't know if you've like looked into much like to do with parallel realities, Amina, and like the different things that are out there.
All that.
Yeah, it's
very interdimensional.
Cool. So it's good to know I've got another crazy person on this call. So yeah, so when it, I guess for anyone listening to this who hasn't heard of like parallel realities, it's the idea that time and space, like there is no past, present, future. It's just one. It's our consciousness that perceives it as linear, as time. And I think a good way to understand this is taking the example of, let's say, you know, back in the day when we had those films at a cinema, you had to have the films. Everything on that film, the whole storyline, the whole movie already exists. It's a case whereby when you reel that film, the perception now of time, of that still, those still pictures, now perceived as video, as moving through time, that's what consciousness is. Yeah. So when it comes to the whole thing of life and different realities, it's understanding that past, present, future exists. Equally in this moment, it's appreciating that if I was to pick this cup up, now I'm realizing this reality where there's this cup, there's this water, I've picked it up. Equally, it's understanding that I could have had a choice not to pick that cup up. And in a different reality, that's what I did. I didn't touch that cup. There's another reality where one of my atoms is over here slightly and not over here.
Every little minute. My brother and I were talking about this and it was blowing his mind. Like every little individual change exists in the universe. And like, if the universe is truly infinite, then that means there's a reality where we started this podcast 2 minutes prior or 2 minutes later or 1 minute later or 1 minute prior. And like, that's just crazy. It really gives you the idea of what the number infinite means. It's truly infinite. And if all these realities exist, we can choose which one we want to be on by tapping into the future. Like you said, the future already is happening right now of all realities possible. The reality where I buy a Tesla that I'm trying to manifest or whatever, the reality where I become this or that. So you tap into that future moment that's happening right now of the reality that you want to be in. And you're kind of like putting yourself on that timeline, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all happening at the same time. So it's really like a complicated thing to explain, but I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, that's the thing though, because I used to get so caught up in this, and I'm sure people listening to this for the first time are like, parallel realities, hold on, that's so many things, so
it
many
sounds
realities
out there. Yeah, it sounds crazy.
But that's the thing. So the thing that gave me that understanding is like, okay, maybe this is true. Like you said at the beginning of school, let me keep my mind open, right? Like you said earlier, Amina, I don't know what I don't know. Like at the end of the day, I don't know everything. I don't know what I don't know. And one thing that really gave me this understanding was appreciating that actually, are we even meant to know? Are we even meant to appreciate infinity?
Because, yeah, it would defeat the purpose of life, right?
Exactly. So the tool that we've been given is a brain, right? We have the brain which perceives things. this brain, noting that this is a three-dimensional brain, like it's in this 3D reality, it's appreciating that this brain is an amazing tool, but a terrible master. This brain is not designed to appreciate the concept of boundless time and space, infinite realities. It's here to appreciate and play this game that we're in. So the moment that we keep our mind open to know that, okay, maybe I can't perceive this reality like infinite. I can't perceive that number of different realities. Maybe, you know, I'm not meant to perceive it like that. Yes, I may appreciate it, but let me just use this tool to know that, like you said, Amina, I want to tap in to that reality that exists. I know it exists. I know the past. And it's not even too out there. Even science shows when you go to space and you're orbiting certain, let's say, denser gravitational objects, like let's say a black hole or a big superstar or something like that. When you're there, time works differently, right? Time slows down, time speeds up. So to the mind, it's like, how can time slow down by so much? How can time
speed up? I'm not real. We just experience it how we experience it. Yeah, that's crazy. Science definitely is touching on all these topics that people think are so weird, but we just don't understand them. Like, we have to kind of translate them into our 3D brain, like you said. Mm-hmm. But science only goes so far because science is also limited to the 3D reality. So, yeah.
Like that double slit experiment. And so I used to do physics at uni. And that doesn't mean that I'm so great at science because I didn't get the best grades at uni. Okay. But I did physics at uni. So I can say that at least. But one thing that really made me want to do physics as well was the whole consciousness side. Because like you say, Amina, like science is showing, but at the end of the day, if we're realistic, it's barely catching up to what is already out there. Like if you look at so many spiritual modalities, so many spiritual trainings, they already knew this like thousands of years ago. Like if you look at some of their ancient textbooks where they haven't even got technology, and I'm using inverted commas with my fingers for those of you who can't see. So they haven't even got technology, 10,000 years ago, 20,000 years ago, like telescopes, or 50,000 years ago, yet they can see stars like Sirius A, Sirius B. They knew about these stars before we even knew about them in this so-called advanced civilization where we've got all these telescopes, everything like this. And it's just appreciating, like, it always comes back to, you don't know what you don't know. Keep your mind open. And at the end of the day, if because what's the worst that can happen, right? If you keep your mind closed, then your reality will always be the way it's always been, right? Your reality will always be the way that it's been. Like, however it's been, it will continue to be like that. If you're like, you know what? I don't know what I don't know. There's people out there who claim to know this stuff. Let me just imagine. Let me just take it as science fiction. Let's just imagine that it is like this. Then you just treat it like a science experiment, see how it goes. And 9 times out of 10, you'll see a new shift in your reality just by keeping that open mind.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Like, there's so many perspectives of things. And even if something seems weird to you, you might learn something. I love that. I think I'm going to call the episode Keeping an Open Mind, or We Don't Know What We Don't Know, or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, that's true. It always fascinates me. And I accept every theory, everything. Like, you know, I believe every religion has a little bit of the truth. Like, I'm like that too. And it's never failed me. So yeah, I'm always blowing my mind about something new.
It's a beautiful space to be in, because ultimately, like everybody, like we said earlier, everyone here is going through some sort of challenges, but also everyone here has some sort of goal. Like they want something in life. They're here. Whether they know their true passion, their true purpose in life right now, it doesn't matter. Like, so many people get caught up on like, what's my purpose? What's my passion? But ultimately, we just need to know two things. The first thing is to be purposeful in every moment, right? Your purpose is to be purposeful. Like, my purpose right now is to chill, enjoy this great podcast that you're doing, Amina, and just, you know, just vibe and just like spread some love, spread some positivity. The next thing that we know is that ultimately, our purpose of this lifetime is that we're going to die. Like that's the end game. You want to know the end game? If everyone here is
wondering,
like,
what's certain thing here?
Yeah, exactly.
I think we know for sure.
And taxes. Taxes is the other certain thing.
Some people, yeah.
So we know that, okay, that's the ultimate end game. And so now people are thinking, okay, but what about the bit in between, like between this moment and the next? Actually, there is no next moment. This is the only moment that we have. So the thing that I teach a lot as part of this whole, like we call it wealth yogi vision, is appreciating and understanding that in this moment, you have more access to these different realities that we're talking to with the the stronger that your container is, like the more skills that you acquire, the more that you equip yourself, your container, like your vessel, you, then actually just like right now, if let's say, Amina, you didn't know how to use Zoom, you didn't know how to work technology, right? Then probably this podcast wouldn't be that accessible to you right now. If it's a case whereby you didn't know how to speak English, then this reality of us two coming together, because I don't know any other language, probably wouldn't have existed. But because you know how to speak English, because you know how to set up a podcast, because you know how to work technology, because you've equipped yourself with these skills, the access to these other realities becomes closer, becomes easier. So if anyone here is wondering, like, what is my purpose? I really don't know what my passion is. It's appreciating that actually, if I don't know, that's fine. Let me just equip myself right now with as many tools, as many skills, as many strategies that will allow me to have more freedom, allow me to have more access to these other parallel realities. So a few key things that I always recommend, like there's three key areas that I always recommend. The first is communication, because whether we like it or not, like we are in this, I know people will be like, but Josh, you know, back in the day we used to use telepathy. So, you know, we didn't need to communicate, but right now we need to communicate with our words. And I know there'll be some people thinking, but I'm not that good at communicating. Maybe I'm a bit shy. These things can be learned. And this is coming from experience, because this is coming from the guy who literally 2 years ago, I was living on my parents' couch, earning £100 a month, didn't have any savings, just graduated uni, was so shy, so introverted. I didn't even want to, on like a Zoom call of like, I think 50 people, I didn't even want to turn my camera on. I didn't even want to record myself. I didn't even want to talk to anyone. I had like a mastermind with one of my mentors. There was like six people in the room. We had to introduce ourselves. My thing in my head was, I can't do that. Oh, where's the nearest toilet? Like, I need to find the toilet, so I do not need to do this. So, and then now fast forward like 2 years to be able to speak on these stages of like literally 500, 1,000 plus people and spread this message. I'm not even saying this to say, oh, look how great I am. I'm saying this so that people can appreciate in such a short space of time what is possible. Because I was that shy, introverted kid who, you ask me to turn my camera on, Amina, I'll be like, this is a podcast. Can we not just like do it like virtually? And I'll be like, I don't even know how to speak properly. So all these skills can be learned. That the key thing is all about finding a mentor or finding someone with the results. Just like people reach out to you, Amina, with regards to their lucid dreaming. Like at the end of the day, you know how to lucid dream. You know the skills, the strategies that work for you that can work for others. So why not just seek out a mentor with those results who can see your blind spots, who know, okay, you're not experiencing lucid dreaming. Maybe it's the case because of this. I experienced this in the past. And so often people get caught up sometimes in thinking, okay, do I need to see someone who's qualified? Actually, the biggest thing you can find is someone who's got the results. Like you look at university lecturers, let's take business lecturers, right? These guys are qualified. They've got the qualifications, but have they got million-dollar businesses that are bringing in 7-8 figures every year? Or have they just got a piece of paper? Okay. And if there's any lecturers listening to this, I'm not having a stab. I'm just showing you the difference. Okay. Between, yes, qualifications are good. Qualifications are needed, especially in certain industries, but don't let qualifications or anything like that make you feel like, does this person know what they are? Or can I even teach this stuff? If you've got the results, if you've got the experience in your life, and this is something that we teach people, because sometimes people are like, I'm not that expert, yet they're running businesses that have hundreds of thousands generating or millions of pounds, or they say, I'm not really an expert, I haven't got no yoga qualification, yet they've trained with some master or something like that. So just appreciating that if you want a skill in life, find someone with the results that you desire, learn from them, pick it up. I know for me, this whole high income, high impact skills and strategies that I'm mentioning here, if I didn't have a mentor, easily it would have taken me 10 plus years to learn what I've learned in like 1 or 2 years. So that would be one big advice. Another thing that I always recommend people look out for is how to portray your value, and then also how to lead people on that value, how to spread this message. So those would be the main things I always recommend. But ultimately, it's just finding someone who's got the results, finding someone who knows, and then just learning from them and just fully immersing yourself with that until you become as good, if not greater, than that person.
Yeah, I agree. And like, are any of us really experts in anything? Like, we're all here on earth knowing the same amount of knowledge. Like, our experience is what guides us. Like I said, we're all like guiding each other. So yeah, I think that's great advice really for anybody. Just find somebody, because we are here that we're social beings. Like, we're supposed to help each other. We can't do anything on our own. Right.
Yeah. And people, that's another thing, like in this reality, because perception equals reality. Like, you see the amount of people that I know that see celebrities or see people, even people earning like billions of dollars, and they think, oh my gosh, they must have it all figured out. But you speak to that billionaire, you speak to that millionaire, actually they're going through challenges, whether it's with relationships, whether it's with, I don't know, managing finances, whether it's with something. Everyone's got their challenges. Like, no one here knows it all. Like, this brain cannot fit all that capacity. And like you say, are we really experts? It's, I think everyone, when they appreciate that we're not all experts, we are experts, but we're not all experts. Like, we know a lot, but we don't know it. There's like infinite amounts of knowledge out there. So it's just knowing and appreciating that different level of, taking yourself to that different level of consciousness to just appreciate that we do what we can. We're an expert in what we know, but we're not an expert in everything.
Yeah, that's very true.
Like you said earlier, so a few points would be, keep an open mind, open heart. Next is appreciating that, you know, we know what we know. We know what we don't know, but we don't know what we don't know. So we know what we know. For instance, I know that I can speak English. I know that I can, I don't know, make a meal. I know that I don't know how to fly a plane right now, even though I will be very soon. That's one of my manifestations. I know that I don't know how to speak German. Okay. Then I don't know what I don't know. There's infinite amount out there what we don't know. So it's just, the main advice I'll give to anyone is just being someone who seeks truth, always seek truth, seek within, and keep that open mind and open heart. If you seek truth, you seek within, you won't go far wrong. And then if you keep an open mind, keep an open heart, have some sort of mentor or some sort of guidance, like, things will really, really skyrocket with regards to your manifestations, your dreams, your desires, your overall progress in this game that we call life.
Love it. Good point. Thank you so much, Joshua. Maybe I'll do one of your courses or something, because yeah, I feel like I'm finally finding like what, you know, what makes sense to me, but you know, I just had to figure out how to make it financially, make myself supported from it, you know, even though I don't care about money, but we have to survive. So it matters.
This is honestly the biggest thing that I teach people about, because especially in the spiritual world, and I used to be like this, I used to be like, money isn't that important. I don't really want money. Like, yeah, we need it to live, but I don't really want it. And it even came the other day, we had a training course with, there was around 100 plus people on there. And I was teaching them these like 7-figure business strategies. But then when I was speaking to them, I was like, okay, actually, no, there was a lot of people on there. So I was speaking to them, I was like, okay, before I even go into these strategies now, I want to ask you, like, how many of you guys here are like, think that money isn't that important? You don't really want to earn money. And then a bunch of them raised their hand, which is not a surprise, especially in a spiritual crowd, but we find. And when I spoke to them, I was like, you know what? So before I even give you these strategies, because there's no point in me teaching you how to make money if you don't want to make money, I want to just find out, like, does everyone here see that regardless of your goal in this life, you need money to play this game? Like, whether we like it or not, we are playing this money game. And then there's some people there who are like, but Josh, I just want to manifest peace. Like, I don't need money for peace. But then my question to them was, you're manifesting peace, but if you're struggling to pay the bills, or if you're struggling to feed your family or put a roof over your head, is there stress in your life? Yes or no? Obviously the answer is yes. And if there's stress in your life, is your vibration maybe harder to reach that level of peace and bliss? Like, will you find that maybe your vibration will be reduced down to maybe anxiety, fear, worry, stress? Then yes. So then I said, okay, so if you want to manifest peace in this world, like we said at the beginning of this call, we start with self. So we manifest peace in ourselves. If we want to manifest peace in ourselves, would it be right to maybe not have to have the stresses of money and not have to have the stresses of these basic things in life? Then people were starting to realize that, okay, actually, maybe money is a bit more important than I really perceived. And the biggest thing that I've seen a lot of the times is because people think, but Josh, like, my family is more important than money, spending time with my loved ones, traveling the world. No, my question was never, is money more important than your loved ones? My question was, is money important? Because money is just energy. It's what you do with that money, right? Because if you're a good person, the chances are you're going to do very good stuff with that money. if you're maybe not so good person, the chances are maybe you'll do more not so good stuff. So it's appreciating that money is just a magnifier. And it's really one of the first things in this game that we're playing. If we're playing a game, we're not just going to give the person, the main character, like infinite money straight away. We want to see how they build themselves up, how they equip themselves, how they play this game. Then when they earn that money, when they have that money, that's not a worry. Then they can focus on maybe other things that they want to focus on, maybe contributing more and all that sort of thing. So it's a really big thing. And maybe we discuss another time or something, because there's a lot of different strategies that, and it's very simple. Like when you know how, it's very simple the way that when you just set something up. So it's a big thing, but you know, that's my thing, is equipping as many spiritual people, especially with these skills, because you know, it's needed, especially now in the world.
You know, I have that issue with money, not issue really. Like I want money. I love money. I want to be able to do good things with my money. I don't want to stress about it. You know, I don't want it to run me in that capacity. So that's why I'm on the journey that I am, to try to get to that point. And yeah, it's definitely a process, but we're getting there.
We're all on it. We're all on that journey. We're getting there. We are there. We are there.
If you like today's episode, you can find us on Instagram or thedreamworldpodcast.com. Peace out.